Again, we're on page Lamed Vav Sefer Chassid in the middle of Siman Yud Ches. Just the one more paragraph, then we begin Yud Ches. The last paragraph on the line, on the page, on the last paragraph on the page. Hamispalol Tzach Shlitin Idiv Lamata. Everyone ready? Page Lamed Vav. Last paragraph. Hamispalol Tzach Shlitin Idiv Lamata Liba Lamala. When a person davens, there is a tzur on how one should daven. His eyes should be Lamata. But the Levi Lamala, Kidei Lekayim Shtei Mikrois Lalu, there are two psukim which contradict one another. V'hoyu Einai V'libi Shom Kol Hayomim. A person's eyes and heart shall be there, referring to Yerushalayim, towards the Beis Hamikdash, the Mokem Hashua Sashrina. Niso Levavenu El Kapoyim El Kel Vashomoyim. But the other pasuk seems to say that you shall lift up your heart to your hands. So we have to remember the pshat and the pasuk is in ancient times, how did they daven? They daven with raised hands. Okay, the way you daven was you lifted up your hand. Where does it come from? Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hoye kasha yorim yodoy v'govar Yisrael. V'hoye kasha yorim yodoy v'govar Yisrael. V'hoye kasha, what does the pasuk say? When you put them, you put down his hands, v'govar Amolek. At the end of Parshas B'Shalach, in the Melchemah Esal Molek, when Moshe lifted up his hands, V'Govar Yisrael, the worst mistake I ever made when I leaned, not that I leaned so much, but the worst mistake I ever made was, I said, V'Hoy Kasha Yorim, and the Oilam, they screamed out so loud, I almost got a heart attack. V'Hoy Kasha Yorim Yisrael, V'Govar Amolek. Doesn't get worse than that. Does not get worse than that. I didn't catch it. The tzibur caught it. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know. Your mind plays with you when you're laying, but that was the worst mistake. But this is the makar of raising your hands when you pray. When Moshe raised your hands, somehow it has an effect upon your outlook, upon your mind, to lift up your heart towards heaven. That is the correct posture to be in when you pray. Today, you've never seen anyone do this. The Gemara already says, the Goyim have stolen this from us and has made this part of their ritual. And therefore, Chazal have said, don't do it. Because if you do it, it will appear that you are joining them. That's not fair. They steal something from us and now we have to stop doing it. That's not fair. Zelo fair. What else you can do about it? That's life. It's not so. You should know it's not right. And the Gemara says you're not supposed to do it. The Gemara says now the answer is they'll tell you it's only forbidden to raise it all the way up. To raise it a little bit, as long as you don't go above your yitzhilin, that's okay. Just don't go like this. Moshe raised it all the way up like this. That's the problem. That's how the Goyim do it. Supposedly, if they daven, whatever they do. What?
You've seen it,
yeah?
At Kufa, I've seen it. Sometimes even with just one hand.
Okay. But you raise it all the way up. So raising a little bit is okay. Or just do it occasionally. But when they daven, they raise their hand continuously from beginning to end. Once in a while, to get a little worked up, to raise your hand is okay. Just don't, that should not be the tzur of tefillah from beginning to end. So this is how we answer the contradiction. One pasuk says that you shall lift up. Okay, this pasuk says, when we're talking about the pasuk, Nisa levavenu el kapayim, lift up our heart. Lift up, we will lift up our hearts, el, towards our hands. El kapayim. And where are our hands being raised? El kel bashamoyim. Our hands are being raised towards Hashem. And that inspires us to lift up our hearts towards our hands, which in turn are geared towards Hashem. But the pasuk before says that your heart and your eyes shall be focused on the Beis HaMikdash, which means look not towards heaven, look towards a place, a location on this earth. On this earth, in other words, Davin Mizrach. If you live in America, you Davin Mizrach. Daven towards the Beis HaMikdash. That's the makar. First pasuk says, "V'hoyu enai." Shlomo HaMelech said, "My eyes." vilibi, in my heart, will be sham, will be directed there towards the Beis HaMikdash kol hayomim. So that means look at a place on earth, not onto a place in heaven. Contradiction. Should we lift up our hearts and eyes to heaven, or should we direct our eyes and heart towards a place on this earth? The answer is both. Physically, they should be geared towards the earth. But spiritually, you should be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shamayim. This is how we answer the contradiction. Okay, next. V'oysen ha-magvim Hashem v'eneim l'malo ki mabitim al ha-malachim. Those people who lift up their heads and their eyes heavenwards as if they're looking at the angels, mal'igin oysan, we laugh upon them, v'karin oysoi, we call him Resha de Chizre Behenach. It's a play on the word. Chizre means a pig. A chazir. A chazir meyar. But over here, the Chizre means Lashon of a chizoyon. A chizoyon is a play on the word. It means a vision. These people think they're having visions. They think they're seeing malachim. So we play with the word. The word, the one hand, the word Chizre, Lashon of chizoyon, means, oh, they have visions. They see malachim. They see spiritual things. You don't see nothing. You don't see. Who are you fooling? So therefore, we take that word of chizayon and we add a resh to it, and it becomes a not a nice word. The head of a pig, resh of the chizrei.
The thing is that all these psukim talking about looking,
yeah,
upward, right? Plus other psukim, right? Like esoinai
el hodmayo, yeah.
And yet he is saying we should. Should look downward.
It doesn't mean downwards. It says downward. It means to a
like
location.
In a position of humility, rather. Than
okay. So well, what's the question? Wait, say it again. No, you look upward for inspiration, but right. you have to be humble. Of course, you have to humble yourself. You have to look downward.
But he says
to look down,
which is the opposite of what all the psukim are telling.
No, that's exactly the point he's making. The point he's making over here is that there's the physical gaze and there's a spiritual gaze. It's exactly the contradiction. We have two psukim which contradict one another. One pasuk is mashma, you have to look down. One pasuk is look up. How do we answer the stira? The answer is physically look down, but spiritually look up.
That's a neat trick.
Okay, but that's exactly what he says. That's the answer to the contradiction. There are two dimensions. Okay, so this concludes. They call him Reish the Chazir. I always like to go over the joke. The joke they saw over many people. I heard it first over the name of Rav Herschel Schachter, but I've heard other Gedolim said the same thing. Everyone likes this joke. Is that a fellow came to Rav Herschel Schachter and he said to him, Rebbe, it says in Shulchan Aruch that when you go to the Beis HaKisei, you should say Hischabdu Michubodai, which means may the angels, may you find dignity. A person is surrounded. A person, as he walks, Yishlach Malachay Lefanav. A person, Yitzav Hashem Malachav. A person, when he walks, there are angels all around him. No, there are angels. When you walk, you're surrounded by angels. So when you go to the Beis HaKisei, it's not respectful that the angels should come into a makom tinoifes, into a dirty place. So when you go into the Beis HaKisei, you say to the angels, you can take a break. Go get a cigarette. Go for a smoke. Get a cup of coffee. So you say, Hischabdu mechubodai, it's okay, mechubodai, my honored ones, you should find dignity. You don't have to come with me to the Beis HaKisei. You can stay outside. You don't have to, it's not befitting for holy creatures like you to come into this dirty place. So, this is Shulchan Aruch. It's not a joke. It says it in the big books. It says it in the big letters. Do you know anyone that says it follows this halacha? Do we do everything that it says in Shulchan Aruch? No. Okay. So, I've never seen anyone do this. So, the fellow came to Rav Herschel says, "I know the Olam doesn't do this. That's because they don't see the Malachim. But Rebbe, I see them. I see them, Rebbe. So, my question is, when I go to the Beis HaKisei, should I say it? Should I say it? I don't want people. You know, people they're going to get jealous of me. Who knows? I see the Malachim. This. I don't want to be perishman at Sibu. So, what should I do?" So Rav Herschel says, "It's a very good question. Why don't you ask them? Let them decide." Okay, so I heard that in his name, but I found out later he's not the only one who had that experience. Who knows? A lot of crazy people out there, right? Okay. Now we come to Halacha Yitess. We shift gears. Now we enter into the world of Teshuvah. Okay,
so... Answer?
What?
Did he get an answer?
Who knows? With these type of people? Okay, now we go into Halacha Yitess. Now we shift gears. We're now leaving for a moment the world of Tefillah. And we're going into the world of Teshuvah, and this is very characteristic of the Sefer HaChassidim, where he likes to put everything in numbers. He likes to categorize. You find why were Talmidei Chachamim called Soifrim? Why are they called scribes? It's not just because they write. A Soifer literally means to count. And you see this very much with this, with the Rambam. The Rambam likes to count. He likes to put everything into numbers. And the Sefer Chassidim as well, with a little that we've learned, we spent on learning, he also likes to put things in numbers. And here is a very nice example.
Lists.
He likes to make lists. So here we go. Eshrim v'arba dvarim makimes ha-teshuvah. According to him, there are 24 things which prevent a person from doing a teshuvah, proper teshuvah. The elu hein rechilus. Lashon Hara. Now, Luchilus and Lashon Hara are two very different things. What is Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is to slander your fellow man. He has no clue what that you're speaking evil about him. He's in another country, he's another side of the world, and you say to your friend, oh, this guy, oh, let me tell you all this nasty stuff about him. And it's, of course, all true. Lashon Hara is only when it is true and the victim is not aware. You're a coward. Rechilus is where you bring enmity. Where you go and you say to Reuven, I want to tell you something. Do you know what Shimon said about you? When you were out, when you didn't give a shear, you weren't here that day, Shimon, he said this comment about you. So when you say this to Reuven now, not only is it Lashon Hara, because you've revealed the sins of Shimon, but now Reuven hates Shimon. Rechilus is where you tell a person something negative that someone said about them, or something negative that someone did that affects this person, and by doing so, you create hatred between these two people. I'll give you an example. I'll give you a very good example. Someone comes to a magid shir. Someone is giving a shir, and he says to him, you know, the shir is no good. You, in the shir, you're repeating yourself too much, or the type of chidushim that you're saying is not appropriate for the audience. And I recommend that you shift gears. That you discuss different topics, you do this, you do that. Okay, I hear what you say. And then the fellow says, I'm not the only one that has a complaint. I'm not a das yochid. There are other people in the shir that feel the same way. And the magid shir says, makes the mistake and says, who? So when the magid shir says who, he is soliciting rechilus. And then if this fellow says, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, they agree with me, and they've commented, and these are their comments about your shir. So now, this individual has just violated the laws of Rechilus. He has now created bad feeling between the Magid shir and the people who are in the shir, because now the Magid shir knows that these people do not like him, do not care for his teaching style and his content, his subject matter.
Specifically, you have to name names?
Yes. Then it's Lashon Hara. If you don't, well, it's not really Lashon Hara. It's a very common one. What is it? You know, as Devarim. That's a new, different category. If you just tell a person, you know, there are people out there that don't like you. There are people out there that are not your friends. And they're saying A, B, C about you. That is not called Lashon Hara. That is not called Rechilus. That is what's called Oino HaStavarim. You've caused him pain. You've caused this person pain. Now, sometimes you're allowed to. There's a toelis. There's a benefit. Constructive criticism. If that's the purpose, then fine. Okay, there are many more heterim for Lashon Hara than there are isurim not to say Lashon Hara. Okay, very, very often people are generally not out to get you. People are generally out to be constructive. It happens to be the way they're constructive is through saying Lashon Hara. So if it's permitted, it's permitted. But let's say there's absolutely no purpose in revealing this information. So if you go and you say, you know, Reuven did a terrible Avera today. That's Lashon Hara. There's no purpose in knowing. Who cares? He did an Avera. I'm not going to do anything about it anyway. So that's Lashon Hara. To say that people don't like you, that's not Lashon Hara. That's called Oinoas Devarim. To say who the people who, I'll tell you their names, that is called Rechilos. Because now, if you're a human being, it's inevitable you're going to have bad feelings towards those people. And asking for those names, you are soliciting Rechilos. Okay, this is a very important difference between Rechilos and Lashon Hara. Next, Baal Chema, a person who has a temper. Next, you count the Rechol, you want to count all the numbers over here? Baal Machshava Ra, a person who is plotting. A Baal Machshava Ra simply means that he is plotting to do harm. Hamischaber L'Rashoyim. Okay, a person who is attached to his friends, he has bad friends.
Associates
with evil people. Haragil B'Suda She'ena Maspekes Liv Oleha. A person who goes to a meal that the people can't afford. You're a leech. Why do you have to come here every Shabbos to my Suda? Why do you have to come every night to me and badger me for dinner, for lunch? You go and I can't afford to feed you every day. Why are you coming and you're a leech? Hamistakel Baroyo is a person that looks at things that he should not be looking at. Hachoylek Im Ganov. Now this means Hachoylek Im Ganov. Now what does that mean? I'm not exactly sure. Either it means, there a commentary over here? No, I'm not sure. Either it means that you divide the spoils.
It means like your offense.
A partner with a ganav. I thought it means you choylek also can mean you're a flatterer. Not really, that's not the right word. That's not the right word. Okay, fine. You benefit from the theft of someone else. Actual theft, but you partake of the spoils.
Part of the business end of it.
Part of the, very good. You work for a ganav. You work for a ganav, right? You have a business. I remember my father, when people used to ask my father, they were there with certain students in my father's class. I remember one particular maisa where he came to my father and he told my father how the business operates. And my father told him, get out of there. The business was basically very unethical. The whole technique of what they did, everything they were doing, they were making a lot of money. But the student was very disturbed when he fully comprehended what was going on behind the scenes, how the company was making money. And he explained to my father in detail exactly what they were doing. My father said, get out of there. It's either it was mamish outright usur or it was very, very unethical, the technique. So that's cool. I get a paycheck. I'm not the guy. I'm just a clerk. I clean the floors there. But the whole parnasa is a parnasa of Geneva. And a parnasa of Geneva, if you have a chelik in such a parnasa, that is what he's calling l'chora ha-chelik im ganov. This will be ma'akev teshuvah. Ha'oimer echet echta v'ashuv. They just had a very big, fascinating convention called Aguda West. You familiar with this? Out West. What?
Convention.
Massive convention. It's even more popular than the Aguda convention here in New York. They have a convention here in New York. You went to the Aguda convention, right?
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, they just wrapped up this week, they have in Chicago. They have in Chicago where they bring together all of the Jewish communities in the Midwest.
Oh, you mean regional?
Regional. It seems like it's not 100% part of the Aguda. It seems they're part, but not part. What?
I don't think so.
Yes, it's a very complicated relationship. No,
it was
the whole thing was streamed online. I know about it because I work part time, work together with people from Torah Anytime, and they streamed the whole thing from beginning to end. And in fact, the Aguda West, they gave them a lot of dignity, a lot of covet. They were mechabed the Torah Anytime very, very much in this, for the first time in this event. They gave them an enormous amount of esteem. Praise, and they gave them a booth, a mamish prime real estate, because they brought the message of what was going on there to all over the country. And the big thing this year, you got to go online, there's some amazing stuff, was about basically the workplace. It was conduct in the workplace. Ethics and behavior and halacha laws was never so successful like this year. And there were some very, very powerful speakers. So one of them was Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn. And he spoke about, a lot of women, he had over the years, over time, they came to him and they told him different problems they have in the office, in different companies that they work for, which was very significant breach in tznius. Different things that were demanded of them in different companies, where the women had to participate in certain events. And a lot of these women felt that it was going a bit too far, violated their religious beliefs, okay, their hashkafa that they've been brought up with in Beis Yaakov. And he said, he told them, he said, it was shocking what he said to you. He says, I told them to quit. But it's my parnasa. If I quit, how am I going to feed my children? I need the money. So he says, not only support the husband. A lot of the people out there, they're not in kolo in Chicago. There's not a lot of kolo. Talking about a case where it's not a matter of kolo. It's a matter of two breadwinners. You need two people to make a parnasa. Two breadwinners. Can't do it one alone. And they said they can't quit. They just can't. And he was very bold. You have to listen. I told him, you're not allowed to. You have to leave your job. You have to hear what the case was with different situations. He say, I don't want to say what he went on to say afterwards. You listen. That's not the point. But okay, it's scary. It's scary stuff out there. Hachoylek im ganov. Next, ha'omer. The next problem. Ha'omer echta v'ashuv. A person says, "I will sin today," but big deal. Yom Kippur is around the corner, and Yom Kippur will clean the slate. V'ashuv avoyim ze, and I will do teshuva from this particular sin. Next, ha'omer echta. V'yom hakipurim mechaper. Either different types of tshuva. Next, hamevaze esra.
They're not sincere.
They're not right. I'm going to sin, and you'll rely upon you will rely upon doing tshuva. Right now, I want to do the avera, and I will do tshuva in the future to cleanse myself. But now, I have to do the avera. Next, hamevaze esra boisav. Someone that is mevaze his teachers. Okay, that's very dangerous today. The comments I've seen on the Haredi websites are just horrific. About Rabbanim. Rabbanim and Gedolei Yisrael, the common man disagrees with some of their policies or their statements. And I'm no stranger to this. But there are boundaries of how far you go in criticizing. Even if you criticize, there's a way to criticize. There are expressions, there are nuschois that can be used. But unfortunately, this has become a very big nisoya in our generation, where anyone who wants can go on a website, on a popular website, and the websites thrive. Their lifeblood are the comments, which is basically a cesspool of society. Okay, and they thrive. People thrive, and the things that are on these comments are just unbelievable.
On the websites, that maybe nobody's editing, but FJJ is edited. Presumably with the letters. I read a letter which was very specific. He says, "Oh, in Marine Park, they were caring on Shabbos."
Yeah.
We know a Marine Park has its own IRA. Has over 30 now Rabbonim shuls, and he says there is no rabbi in or a chacham in Marine Park to explain to them that they are
in Shabbos. All right, I can't speak for because that is an editor. Okay, what goes into a newspaper is the responsibility of an editor, but are the blogs online? There's also control. There's also the ability. Every single comment you have the total control if you want to put on the settings to permit, not permit. And the attitude is, no, freedom of speech, let it all hang out. And you can be anonymous, and it's one thing by the Goyim, big deal, they don't have any morals, any standards, but it's very shocking that from religious people who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, they allow, on their very popular websites, things that are just mavir al haran. There's one particular website, even like, you know, you talk about the famous, they're a little more careful. But there's this one website that the whole website is only the comments. That's the whole website. That's so popular.
I mean, they let other people on
to comment. The guy puts up a post.
I'm not making a comment. They're allowing.
The person puts up a post. The person he puts up a post. He puts up a post and he says, Zdeya. Something has happened. Okay, a news item. And he writes his commentary, his editorial. And then you literally have 300 people. 300 people. They comment. Who has time to read these things? Anyway, but wow. You get an idea what's going on out there. It's frightening. Next.
It's true in general, but you know, people are.
But it should not be true among religious Jews. We have different standards.
Any famous person or politician is trolling.
All right. That's the Goyish world.
And if you try to defend that, then they troll you.
That's the Goyish world, but we're not from the Goyim. We're from the Shomrei Torah u'Mitzvos, and we have different standards. And the excuse that this is society, this is what you do, that's not an excuse. First thing is, no one can be anonymous. That's the Pasha Admorit. That would solve already 90% of the problems. 90%. So you can't have false standards. Yeah, there are ways to validate. When I work for different. I work different things that I do. Services. The amount of investigation they do until I can go live is just crazy. They have video conference. They drill me. They ask me questions. They want me to hold up my driver's license in front of the webcam, and they drill me to validate I'm a real person. I have a real address.
Who's they?
The people who control these websites. I work with different websites. We're Goyish websites. We hire people to work to programming, web design, marketing, mainly programming, and dealing with people all over the world. And in order to be accepted as either a programmer or a person who hires programmers, as we call an agency who can hire programmers, they insist that we have to know for sure that you're a real person. Because if you're not a real person, there's a lot of dangers. Money, where is the money going? Are you doing the work? Not doing the work. There has to be accountability. So when you're dealing with real money and real services rendered, you have to be a real person. So there are techniques that they use to validate that the people that are signing up are real human beings. They have spot video conferencing, where all of a sudden your account is on hold until you call in live with a webcam and you speak to a real person and they ask you a whole number of questions and you have to validate your address with real documents. There are ways to validate real human beings. It's not a big deal. But when it comes to these type of things, in the Goyish world, it's a hefkeres. But in the Jewish world, if you're a religious Orthodox Jew, there are halachas of lashon hara, rechilos, oinoas devarim. There's a principle called hamavaze es rabbeisav. There's a principle called, next words, hamekalel es harabim, to curse the rabbim. Okay, he writes. He really get this sefer. Say he was ahead of his time. The sefer chasidim, hamekalel, to curse out a whole segment of society.
Right? You call to, Israeli police
to call the whole segment of society to call them to curse them.
This is the Rambam's list, right?
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah.
Could be. Hamakal sarabim uvichlal ovein ze hamanei sarabim milasois mitzvos. You prevent them from doing mitzvos. You mevaza them. Vehamates chaverim midvar mitzvah ledvar aver. A person that he influences his friend instead of doing a mitzvah doing avera. Vehamishtamesh. To make use of the trough of an ani. In other words, you steal from a poor person. Avoid like an animal. Avoid means is a. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. The collateral. I'm sorry. You're right. Collateral. The collateral. Okay, you take money from an ani that's collateral and you use it for your own private needs. An object, so that's forbidden. The collateral is there just to make sure that the ani pays back the money. And here you're taking it for yourself. The mekabel shoychad lahatois, that a person accepts a bribe. The amoytzi avedo ve'ena machriz olecha, you find a lost object upon which you have an obligation to return, and you do not make an announcement. Atshech sirena levolecha, So that it should be found. The person sees his child is leading a life that is not proper, and you did not make a macha. For oichal shoyd aniyim v'almanos, you steal from the profit of the poor and almanos, you steal their money. V'apayrish atzma min atzibor, you are pirish from the tzibor. Pshut kamashmoi. However, al divrei chachamim v'amischabed b'kolayna shel chaveray, you take honor in the koloin of your friend. You thrive upon other people's mistakes. Hachleshed bakeshedim. You always make the rule. You always assume everyone is guilty. Pshutu kamashmoi. Hasani hatoychacha. You hate toychacha. Hamalik ala mitzvos. You mak mitzvos. Kol ila eshem v'arba dvar ma'achem esak tshuva. Ein moinim esak tshuva. Ela im kain asa mehen teshuva. Okay, these are 24 things.
What malik
means? Malik means to mock. You make fun of this mitzvah is outdated. It's outdated. Doesn't make any sense. Why in the world should we still in this generation have to do this mitzvah?
Which is a step below.
Apikoros.
No, but it's a step below mocking the chachamim.
Chacham. Okay. Okay. So these are all.
All of these things are in descending order.
Severe violations. You prevent. Monea means you prevent. Where are you reading from? Reading the next line? Let's read. Ein kol eila eshem v'arbo dvarim ma'achim es ha'tshuva. Next. Period. Next. Ein moinim es ha'tshuva ela imkein osa mehen tshuva. These things do not withhold tshuva. Ela imkein osa mehen teshuva, harehu bal teshuva, v'yesh lechelik l'lamaba. We do not hold back tshuva.
We started off with ma'afin teshuva.
Correct. If a person has one of these 24 things, then
it's difficult.
It makes it difficult. Ein moinim es ha'tshuva. Okay, these things do not withhold teshuva.
Let's read further.
Ela imkein asa ela imkein asa mehen teshuva, unless he does teshuva, harehu bal teshuva v'yesh lechelek la'olam haba. Now these things do not. I'm not sure how to read this. I don't know how to read this. Let's see over here on the parish. Do you see everything on the parish? No. What?
He actually has to do it, not just think about it.
Ein moinen es ha'tshuva, ela imkein osa mehen teshuva.
If he can somehow overcome that, and with its varying degrees of difficulty, then he is...
Baal teshuva. Yeah, something along those lines. Okay, as we mentioned, sometimes the words of the Sefer Hasidim are very cryptic. As we mentioned, there's a whole Sefer on Girsois, Nuschois. There's probably no Sefer that has more Shinui Nuschois than the Sefer HaChassidus. We've come across this.
This is pretty close to the Rambam's list.
Well, the last sentence.
The last sentence is a bit cryptic.
The last sentence of the Bris Olam says that it comes from the Rambam.
Yeah.
The whole thing comes from the Rambam. Okay.
If you look in the Siv HaTshuva, you'll see an explanation of these
characters. All 24 things.
What about the people that are doing all this? I mean, okay, this is a tshuva to God. What's going on here? I mean, take these guys out and kill them.
Go try to do that.
No, I'm not, I'm trying to understand. What's going on?
You're outnumbered. He just said it. You're outnumbered. Well, you're asking age-old questions. This is Kachi Darka Shalolam. Age-old questions. What, you're gonna go fight with City Hall? This is the world. You got to watch out. Ein moinim es ha'teshuva. These 24 things do not withhold teshuva. Ela imkein osa mehen teshuva, unless you do teshuva, harehu bal teshuva v'yesh lechelik la'olam haba. I do not know how to translate these words literally.
Maybe it means that although they make it difficult to do teshuva, it doesn't preclude
the possibility.
Together.
The possibility. These issues do not prevent you from doing teshuva. You can still do teshuva. And hopefully, you will, by doing teshuva, you will be able to overcome these issues.
No, I don't think so.
So how do you read it then? May you have a way to read this?
Yeah. Ein moinen es ha'tshuva. You don't take a person and you hold back from tshuva, elem kein eisa mehen tshuva. If he has done one of these 24 things or a number of them, first he has to do tshuva on those 24 things that he did. And then, so once he does that, he becomes a baal tshuva.
I don't know.
You can't do tshuva. Let's say you steal from somebody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you mevazes a rabba. So you can't say, I'm doing tshuva, I'm stealing, or continuing to be mevazes a rabba. Because once you're mevazes a rabba, it doesn't let you do tshuva. It's boneya from you to do tshuva. You know, if a guy calls everyone else a crook and a Nazi, whatever, he can't do tshuva.
We're going in circles. Let's leave for now, okay? Let's leave this for now. Let's go further. The Elohim mischalkim b'inyanam. The following we're going to divide into different categories. Ki einam kulam sham ba'inish. Okay, we're now going to go now and do different types of teshuva. There are different categories of doing teshuva. Not every avera is the same. Here he goes on to explain. Not every type of teshuva, avera and teshuva is the same. Uve'ina teshuva yesh mehem dvarim noyalim. There are things which withhold. Darkei teshuva b'fnei oisein. There are things that withhold people from doing teshuva. What are they? Number one, ha'poyresh midarkei tzibur. Bizman sheyasu teshuva lo yia imohem v'lo yiska imohem b'zuchuyo shehem oisim. A person that decides not to participate. Everyone is going to shul during the aseres yimei teshuva to do teshuva, and you decide, this is not for me. If you're poyresh from the tzibur, when the tzibur has an opportunity to do tshuva, you do not want to be part of them, then you will not merit the zuchus of being with them, and this will prevent you from having Hashem accept your tshuva when you wake up one day and want to do tshuva. If you want Hashem to accept your tshuva, then one of the best things that you can do for that to happen is to join a group. Join a group that is doing teshuva. And this happens when? During Chodesh Elul and during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. A person wakes up on Yom HaKippurim and says, Hashem, I realize I've done terrible averos, please forgive me. So Hashem will say to him, where were you the last 40 days? Where were you in Chodesh Elul? Where were you during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva? All of a sudden you wake up now, you knew you had an opportunity to come and say slichos, you knew you had an opportunity to participate in some event where you would do teshuva, and you lahachis chose not to. If you lahachis chose not to, and now you won't have the full benefits of Yom HaKippur, Shemim Mechapa, you're going to come to Ne'ila, you're going to go to some big yeshiva where they're going to daven in Ne'ila, you think you're going to latch on to the people over here who are davening Ne'ila with bechias, the most shlish in Ne'ila? Hashem says, who are you fooling? The people over here that are crying their heart out, they were working on their neshama from Chodesh Elul. And you had an opportunity. You could have done what you could have done. You chose, not important for me. And now you think you're going to come, you're going to show up the very last minute and merit to have whatever they have? This is foolish. Next. V'acholik, it says here clearly, v'lo yiska imohem bazchuyoy sheheim oisim. You're not going to get that merit. Now you always see in yeshiva, Ne'ila, you cannot get, you cannot breathe. Ne'ila, everyone comes to Ne'ila. They come from all different shuls. Ne'ila, they come to a yeshiva, and it's a davening like none other. So you think that you walk out of Ne'ila, everyone's mamash, malach, elokim, tzavakos. 80% of the people here were not here for Elul. Why did you come and daven in yeshiva, slichos and Elul? It's too long. It's too long. I can't daven. I can't. It's too long in Shacharis to answer Amen. Where were you during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva? It's too long. I can't daven. So you think you're going to come, you're going to show up the very last minute and everyone's Mama Shemalach Elokim Tzavakas, and how is, unbelievable. What a, he writes here, who are you fooling? V'lo yizke imohem bazuchuyos sheheim oisim. There are no fakers before Hashem. Okay, you can fake out your fellow man. You can show up the last minute when it comes to almost everything in life. Oh, all big, one happy family. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want to score points, you got to be the real deal. V'acholik al divrei chachamim. Next thing, a person's critical of the chachamim in a disrespectful way. Okay, no one is immune to criticism. No one. However, there is different ways to give criticism. Okay, you don't go take out a don't drop a nuclear bomb on someone you don't like. There are techniques. What? You could differ on the issues, but not ad
hominem.
On the institution.
Personal.
Well, that's a very hard line to differentiate. So here, today, we have a tendency to go to an extreme. Machlokes will cause when you get to too much of machah, you will completely separate from them. The Eina Yodea Sa Teshuvah, and they are the ones that can assist you in doing teshuva, and they will no longer be of your assistance. I'll give you a mashal what it means. This is a mashal where we work for someone. In Torah, any time. I don't know if I really should even say this secret. I'll tell you this. I'm humble. I'm in front of Tabor. I'll tell you this incredible story.